Topic of Shir is Pesach and the House of Bondage, what they mean and why it matters. I want to start out, however, with a few questions about Halach Ma'anya. As we all know, Halach Ma'anya is the preamble to Magid. It's not part of Magid after all. The Halach Ma'anya comes before we pour the second cup, so it's not an essential part of the Magid at all. It's actually a preamble to Magid. What is it trying to accomplish? And if we think about our question, what does Pesach mean? The first context I want to ask, what does Pesach mean, is in the Halach Ma'anya, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol, Kol Tetzrich Yesev Yivsach. What does it mean that anyone who needs a Pesach should come and join our Pesach, partake in our Pesach? Is it talking about the Pesach sacrifice? If so, it's a little problematic because we know that Korban Pesach Shelo L'Menuyav is not kosher. We have to have Korban Pesach specifically for the Chabura, and we are making the statement right as we're about to start our Magid. It's a little bit late to be making such a statement. If it's talking about Korban Pesach, not about Korban Pesach, but engaging in some other aspect of Pesach, what is that other aspect of Pesach? That, of course, only begs the question, what does the word Pesach actually mean? We traditionally translate it as to pass over, based on second pasuk in the sur sheet, v'amartam zevach Pesach u'l'Hashem asher pasach al batei b'nei Yisrael mitzrayim mitzrayim et batzeinu hitzil. Hashem passed over our homes in Mitzrayim. But is that colloquial translation of Pesach even correct? Of course, another question about the Halach Ma'anya is, why is this preamble in Aramaic? It's the only part of the Magid that's in Aramaic. It's the only part of the entire Haggadah that's in Aramaic other than Chag Gadya. Family friends of ours have a beautiful minhag. They end off the Seder each year. Chag Gadya. And then they don't end off Chag Gadya until the beginning of the first Seder the next year before Halach Ma'anya. They do Chad Gad Ya Halach Manya Dia Chalua Vatana Viara. It's a really nice minhag. When Mashiach comes, I don't know that they're going to ever end off that Chad Gad Ya, because Halach Ma'anya is not going to be recited once Mashiach comes. But nonetheless is a cute minhag. But why is it that we are reciting Halach Ma'anya in Aramaic rather than in Hebrew? The notion that we are trying not to offend the authorities doesn't make much sense. To the contrary, the authorities are, at least in Eretz Yisrael, were less likely to know Hebrew than in Aramaic. So what exactly is the role of Halach Ma'anya? Why is it in Aramaic? A more content-based question, what is the source for Halach Ma'anya? Again, most Mefarshim say it has to be from after the time of the Beit HaMikdash, because again, partaking in the Pesach was not something you could invite people into right before, during the time of the Beit HaMikdash. You would have needed to establish your Chabura well in advance. But the only source for Halach Ma'anya in rabbinic sources that I am aware of is the Gemara in Tanit, source 5, which cites a list of practices that Rav Huna engaged in. Rav Huna was very wealthy, and He would, the Gemara says, during before a storm, he would travel in a golden carriage and take down any rickety walls so that they not fall on anyone during the storm. He'd also leave herbs that had medicinal value to people out on his doorstep for anyone to take. And finally, we're told that ki hava karach rifta hava patach lebave viyamar komanditz vichlesei velechol. So when Rav Huna would eat bread, he'd open his doors and he would say, whoever needs, let them come in and eat. And when Rava hears all of these things that Rav Huna did, Amar Rava kulu matzina mekayimna levar meha delo matzina lemeabed. I could actually fulfill all of these customs of Rav Huna except for the last one, which I cannot possibly do. Why is it that Rava is saying that he can't do this? Presumably because the earlier minhagim that are mentioned in the Gemara are involving Rav Huna doing something for the public in the public realm, in the public sphere. But the final minhag is inviting people into his home. And it's not just inviting people into his home, it's inviting poor people into his home at any moment, whenever he wants to eat. That is quite, quite hard. And I understand why Rava is saying that's something we can't do. If it's something we can't do, though, why are we trying to do it on Erev Pesach, on the night of Pesach? If Rava couldn't do it, why are we saying that we are trying to do it? So Rav Lichtenstein has this concept of halachic aspirationism. Halachic aspirationism is, I believe, it's a term that he made up. I was once talking about aspirationism in a drasha of mine, and Lisa said to me, "What is this word that you made up, aspirationism?" I said, "It's not a word that I made up. Rav Lichtenstein uses it all the time." And I said, I'll prove it to you. I Googled aspirationism, and what came up was Aaron Lichtenstein halachic aspirationism. Halachic aspirationism, Rav Aaron's concept is that halacha has us aspire toward things that we can't necessarily succeed at completely, but if we succeed at them 90% of the time, or even 50% of the time, it's better than not trying at all. And the halacha wants us to aim for an ideal that is sometimes a bit beyond our reach. It's still strange, though, Rava's saying that this is something that Rav Huna's practice is something that I can't possibly do, and yet we are all trying to do this. We're all making this statement at the beginning of our Seder. So why? In order to understand this, I think we need to get to the second question of the shir, which is, what is this house of bondage, Beit Avadim, that we refer to, and why is what is the role of the house, the home, Pesach night? I believe the role of the home Pesach night is quite essential, and this connects to, of course, the question of what does Pesach mean, especially if we take the traditional interpretation that Pesach means to pass over. Kadosh Baruch Hu passed over the homes of the Jewish people. Again, part of the problem with the interpretation of Pesach as Passover is that what is it about the blood that makes God pass over the houses of the Jews? The blood on the mashkof, on the lintel, and the shtei mezuzot, the doorposts. there's a seeming contradiction between the Haggadah and the Psukim. The Haggadah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was the one who engaged in Makat Bechorot. V'avarti v'eres Mitzrayim, source 3. B'layla azah ani v'lo malach, v'geit kol v'chorei es Mitzrayim ani v'lo sarach, v'chol lohei Mitzrayim eseh shvatim ani v'lo hashaliach, ani Hashem, ani hu v'lo acher. Beautiful, it's the idea that Hashem himself did Malchah Bechor, not any messenger. The problem is that if you look in source 4, the psukim themselves say, "Vavar Hashem lingofet mitzayim v'rat adam al mashkof al shteim zuzotu pasach Hashem al petach v'liteina mashchit lavo al batechem lingof." He won't allow the destroyer to enter your home. Presumably, this is the Malach HaMavet. So it's not Hashem who was engaging in Malchah Bechor, but rather the Malach HaMavet. So who was it who was passing over, so to speak? Was it Hashem? Was it the Malach HaMavet? Rav Yaakov Medan has a beautiful interpretation. He points out that the source for the Haggadah seems to be the Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, source 6, Kiyata Rachmana, Lemifrok Yat Yisrael, Lo Shlach, Lo Shliach, Lo Malach Elohu Bi'atzmo, Dechtiva Avart Erin Zashayim, Hu V'chol Dargon Didei. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to redeem Bnei Yisrael, he didn't send a messenger or an angel, rather he himself did it. As the Pasuk says, same Pasuk, V'avarti Be'eretz Yisrael, I'll pass through Egypt, he and his entire chariot. So what's the difference between this formulation and the formulation of the Haggadah? This formulation in the Yerushalmi makes it clear that it is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing himself is not first and foremost Malchah Bechor, it's first and foremost redeeming the Jewish people, right? Kad Ata Rachmana L'mifrok Yat Yisrael, when he came to redeem Israel. And Rav Medan points out that if you look at the pasuk in Yeshayahu, source 8, Kitziporim afot ken yagen Hashem tzvaot al Yerushalayim genon v'atzil pasoch v'himlit, like the birds that fly, even so Hashem of hosts will shield Yerushalayim, shielding and saving, hovering over, protecting and rescuing. What pasoach here means in this pasuk is Hashem hovers over. It's not that he passes over, he hovers over. So what Rav Medan explains is that actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did on his own was redeem the Jewish people. He allowed the Malach HaMavet to free reign in Egypt, right? And given Shenitan Rishut LaMashrit Eino Mavchim Etzadik Russia, right? That's part of the reason. Either that, or the Jewish people themselves were Ovdei Avodah Zarah at the time, as many Midrashim point out, so they were deserving of destruction. But either way, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did himself wasn't destroying the firstborn of the Egyptians and passing over the homes of the Jews. It's rather, he allowed the Malach HaMavet to visit every home of the Egyptians. And what did he do for the Jewish homes? He redeemed them. He hovered over them. Instead of passing over them, he stayed there and prevented the Malach HaMavet from doing his work. If we take this understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu hovering over our homes rather than passing over our homes, I believe we can begin to understand the centrality of the home in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it's clearly central, as we see from the first of the Aseret HaDibrot, or according to some of us, the preamble to the Aseret HaDibrot, Aruch Hashem Alokecha Asher Tzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mi'Beit Avadim. I, Hashem, your God, brought you out of the land of Egypt, the half from the house of bondage, right? What is this house of bondage? Rashi explains Beit Avadim refers to the house of Paro. Basically, we might have had our own homes in Goshen, in Mitzrayim, but in essence, our homes weren't our own. When we were slaves to Paro, we were in the house of Paro. That's what Rashi explains. And this notion of Beit Avadim comes up over and over again. It's essential in the story. Look at source 10. But it's not just that Beit Avadim is essential. The house is the essential location for the redemption to begin. And we see that in several psukim, right? Look already at the Korban Pesach, source 11, Dabro called out Yisrael Emor, Besor L'Chodesh Zavi Kulam Ish Sel Veit Avot Sel Abayit, right? Emphasis on the house. V'mimata bayit miyot miseh v'lakahu shcheno akarov elav el beito b'mechsat nefashot ish lefi achlo tachosu alaseh. Again, an emphasis. Yimat habayit miyot miseh, that if you don't have the right amount in your house, then you have to create. That's the notion of the chabura, that you are creating for the Karban Pesach. Right? So the notion is HaKadosh Baruch Hu was supposed to visit his punishment upon every house in Egypt, but he didn't. He saved the Jewish houses. He hovered over the Jewish houses, right? And that's the that's what we see in source 13, that that with Makat Bechorot, what happens? Ein bayit asher ein sham mit. Again, the unit of destruction of the 10th Makkah is the home, right? And it is the blood on the Mashkof and the Shtei HaMezuzot that protects our Jewish homes. From that moment on, as the Psukim in Bamidbar make clear, source 12, Ki li kol b'chor b'yom ha'koti kol b'chor b'eres Mitzrayim, hiktashti li kol b'chor b'Yisrael mi'adam ad be'ema li yiyu ani Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu said every b'chor of the Jewish people is now mine, from that time that he hovered over and protected our Bechorim. How are we protected? Through the blood on the Mashkof and the Shtei HaMezuzot. But how does that even help, right? Why does that help? And why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does protect us that way? The Aruch HaShulchan points out, and this is pointed out by several Mefarshim, that in many ways the Korban Pesach was most similar to a chatat in terms of classification. And the reason is because, again, Bnei Israel were deserving to be destroyed as well. They were of the Avodah Zarah. They had sunk so low, Kadosh Baruch Hu had to redeem them now. Couldn't wait the whole 400 years because they needed to be redeemed now and not later. But they deserve to be destroyed. What did they have to do? Mishchu Kru, they had to separate themselves away from the Avodah Zarah of Egypt, and that's what they were doing in taking the Korban Pesach. Right? This answers the question, well, how was this? How do you even have a Korban? There are no altars in Egypt, right? Were they building altars? Some of Farshim play with that idea, but the Gemara in Pesachim says otherwise. Tanur of Yosef Shlosha Mizbachot Hayusham Ala Mashkof Al Shtei HaMezuzot. Source 15, Gemara in Pesachim Tzai Vav, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was basically saying, in place of a mizbeach, use your doorposts, use your home, turn your home into a mizbeach. Now we begin to get an idea of why it is that having the blood on the door is going to save us, right? What are Bnei Israel doing? They are taking their Beit Avadim, their homes that don't belong to them, that basically say they're living in the house of Paro, and they are saying now our homes belong to us, but they don't really belong to us either. They belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our homes are our mizbachot. And after all, as I mentioned last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago in Shabbos HaGadol, Drasha, the act of taking the blood and putting it on the Shtei HaMezuzot, on the two sides of the door that we pass through when we leave the house, what is that remind us of? It reminds us of the Brit Ben Haptarim, where Avraham passes between the karbonot that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to offer, or the animals that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham to slaughter as part of the covenant that he entered with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that Bnei Israel would be enslaved, but they also would be redeemed. Now Bnei Israel are actively embracing that covenant. And how are they embracing it, that covenant? By turning their homes into mizbachot. The Aruch HaShulchan explains that's the reason why in the Birkat HaGeula we say v'nocha shal min hazvachim min hapsachim asher yagia damam al kir mizbachcha l'ratzon, that the blood that will reach your altar for favor. Why are we specifically mentioning this in the Birkat HaGeula? Because the original Pesach Mitzrayim was one where we didn't have a mizbeach; we had an unideal situation on one level, in that you didn't have a mizbeach, but an ideal situation on another level, in that Bnei Israel's homes became the mizbeach. That is an ideal in many incredible ways. And what the Aruch HaShulchan is really pointing out is that on many levels, there's something unideal about our very existence in Galut, doing a Seder in Galut. When we do a Seder in Galut, we're saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt. Why did he take us out of Egypt? He took us out of Egypt to bring us into the land as part of the promise of the Brit Ben Amtarim. And yet, that's not reflected in our reality living in Galus. So that's something that we point out in Halach Ma'anya at the beginning, and we point it out again at the end of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim in the Birkat HaGeula, and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to get back to that place where we actually are worshiping Hashem from the Mizbech, from offering the Karbanot, the Karban Pesach properly, throwing the dam al kir mizbachacha l'ratzon. There's another aspect of the non-ideal nature of the Pesach that we have in Galut. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank points out that the Mishnah Pesachim says Matro Mgnut Masayim Mishvach V'Dorish Me'arav Me'Oved Avi Ad She'Igmor Kol Parsha Kula, until you finish the entire parsha, you have to conclude the parsha of Mikra Bikurim as part of the story of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. What's the problem? The problem is we don't conclude it. We don't do Vayivienu Al Makom Azel Eretz Zavat Chalab Udvash. We don't have that final pasuk as part of the Haggadah. It's something that's basically missing, is missing from the Mishnah. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank explains that's the reason why Rav and Shmuel focus rather in their Matzal Gnut on Avodim Hayinu or Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zara Hayu Avoteinu, rather than Arami Oved Avi, where we actually can't finish the job. Of course, even though we don't mention it, it's sort of still there in the background. Anyone who's done, right, especially think about the time of Mikra Bikurim, when people actually would do Mikra Bikurim, they would know the whole parsha really well, and they would know that it's missing. Of course, it's missing because we are in an unideal situation. That is that's part of the lack of ideal situation that we are in. And that brings us back to the halachic aspirationism of Halach Ma'anya. What we do when we say Kol Ditzrich Yeseh V'Yifsach, we invite people into our homes to join the Karban Pesach. The Arugas Habosim has a beautiful interpretation, that fits very nicely with Rav Medan's interpretation of Pesach as hovering over rather than passing over. He says, what is it that makes us worthy of having a Kadosh Baruch Hu in our homes? It's the fact that we open our homes to other people now, right? To the people who are most in need. That is what God's goal was in the time of Pesach Mitzrayim, when he said that the Pesach has to be done b'chabura. You recognize that you can't, your home is not complete if you aren't bringing in people who are most in need of it, right? Like the Rambam famously says about Simchas Yom Tov, that it's only Simchas Kreso if you're not bringing in the people who most need it into your home. But again, Halach Ma'anya is saying we have an unideal situation. We don't have the Beit HaMikdash where the Karban Pesach can be given properly. We don't have that the Karban Pesach that allows us to have a Kadosh Baruch Hu hovering over our homes. What do we have to allow us to be close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? The fact that we bring people into our homes. And what he explains is the reason that Halach Ma'anya is said in Aramaic rather than in Hebrew. What is Aramaic? Aramaic, the Gemara says, we can't daven in Aramaic because the angels won't, they don't understand Aramaic, they only understand Hebrew, they won't bring our tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the one exception? When we're with a chola, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina is there, present with the chola. When we say Halach Ma'anya in Aramaic, what we're basically saying is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present here in our homes. He hovers over our homes. He hovered over our homes in Egypt because we did offer the Korban Pesach, because we affirmed our belief in one God, because we rejected the Avodah Zarah of Egypt, because we affirmed our identity as Jews. Nowadays, we don't have a Korban Pesach, but we still have a Kadosh Baruch Hu hovering over our homes, at least in a secondary level. But only if we do the Korban Pesach the way it was meant to be done initially. If we do Pesach as it was supposed to be done initially, as the Korban Pesach was supposed to be done initially, where we bring the people who don't have a home into our homes, where the people whose homes are lonely and empty into our homes. Rav Soloveitchik liked to say that Kol Dichvin refers to those who are hungry. Kol Ditzrich refers to those who are lonely, who without whom our Pesach is lacking. And Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch explains that Kol Ditzrich really means us. We are the ones who need the poor people to be in our homes, because without them, then our Pesach is incomplete. We won't have HaKadosh Baruch Hu hovering over our homes the way we deserve to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu hovering. My bracha to all of us is that we do build those kinds of homes and have that kind of Pesach that allows us to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our homes that will eventually lead to a proper geula, where the tefillot of the Birkat HaGeula can be fulfilled. Bimheirav Yameinu.